Brass Ducks, good afternoon.
Hello? Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
That's okay.
I tried to call during the press conference yesterday, but unfortunately I did not get through.
Mm-hmm.
I have what was a very, very concerning point to me, which was related to the medium risk category of persons. I checked the website which the travelers are asked to review before they come to Barbados, and I was the most shocked person to learn that the persons coming from the medium risk countries, they were not required to quarantine whilst awaiting their second test. And also,
what was the date on that?
Pardon?
What was the date on it?
That was up to about 3 days ago, but
no, what was the date? No, not the date. The date it was put on the site. Because I saw a WhatsApp message from you and I went to the site trying to find the message. So what I wanted to find out was, what was the date that I was put on the site? Because earlier, one of the things I talked about because of that WhatsApp message you sent was how things, how the new protocols are put into place and how quickly they're changed. Because I was trying to find the one you referred to see what date it was put on. Did you get the date?
Well, I can say that as that today is a new day, so about 3 days ago, it was still there.
It was still up. Okay. Mm-hmm. And
right.
It said,
and I took screenshots of it.
Yeah, I saw it. Ma'am, I told you. Yeah. I saw the WhatsApp message you sent.
Okay.
And I went checking. That's what I do for a living.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, but in any event, I've seen that as that last night, I saw coming dated January 4th.
So they changed it.
The release saying that you have all the visitors have to stay in their rooms until the second test.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great that they have dealt with that, but it still does not answer why they did it in the first place.
Well,
because those persons from medium risk countries, they were not required to quarantine whilst awaiting their second test. They could drive themselves to the second test facilities.
Mm-hmm.
If positive, they would go to Harrison's Point for assessment, and it says for at least 24 hours. And thereafter, they can choose whether they're going to stay there or if they're going to self-isolate in an approved villa or hotel. I'm not seeing
does that say that if they're positive, they'd be allowed to leave?
No, not leave the country.
No, no, no. Leave the isolation center.
It says that they can request permission from the Ministry of Health and Wellness to self-isolate in an approved hotel or villa.
Which is why I was asking for the date, because I wanted to find out when that was put up. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Right. So it was part of the FAQ. But when I saw it, I was extremely concerned. And the reason I was checking is because a friend of mine who is a Barbadian was thinking of relocating back here and asked me if I knew of the protocols. So I helped them to find the website and to check up the information. And I had that conversation with them over the weekend. So that is how I was able to see that there, know that it was quite current. And I was quite shocked to see, why would the Ministry of Health permit a medium-risk traveler person to roam Barbados freely until their second test and to drive themselves to the testing facility and thereafter to choose if they're going to self-isolate or not? I don't see the logic in it. To me, it put too many people at risk. They should have been required to quarantine with their red bands and everything like everybody else.
Following this from the start of the pandemic,
right,
countries were placed into different categories because
correct.
Of the spread in that country and various mm-hmm. things. Okay?
Right.
So, CARICOM countries had one category. Remember, Antigua had protested
right.
being put into high risk. Barbados
yes.
is now being considered a high-risk destination.
Yes.
Okay? Now, then there were medium-risk countries. Now, from a medium-risk country, you're supposed to do certain things. You're supposed to be tested, a PCR test, not a quick test, not a test online. Yeah. Right. So you have to be tested within 48 hours of travel.
Right.
Good. When you arrived, and it was supposed to be negative.
Yes.
When you arrived, you were tested again.
After the... Well, when, at first it was...
When you arrived in Barbados, you were tested again.
Yes.
Right. Having two negative tests then, if you were medium risk, you were allowed to, as you say, roam until you got a third one.
No. The website said that you're not required to quarantine before your second test. What was happening is that they came in with their negative test, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they went to their quarantine places, hotel or wherever else. And then...
I'm telling you that some people are tested on arrival, but some people are tested on arrival as well.
You were only tested on arrival if you came without a test.
No, ma'am. I know people who came with a test that were tested.
Well, I am not sure about that.
No, I am very sure because I know the person. I know the person close and personal. Let me put it that way.
All right. Well, I can only go by what was published. Yeah.
And they weren't and they were quarantined too, by the way.
It said your second test.
Ma'am, I followed what you said online. I get the point that you made. I'm taking your point, and as I said, that's why I asked you the question about when that information was put up to see what was the protocol at that time.
At that time.
Correct. I get your questions, and I understand why you're asking. And I said, you know, I don't know if and when the protocols were changed, if all the sites were updated, or if there were people who came in, as you suggested, and were allowed to roam, which is a dangerous thing if you don't know their status.
Yes, I checked. I'm looking to see the date that I checked. It was Thursday and Friday last week, and again over the weekend. So that is when I started checking for my friend who wanted to relocate back home.
And it's still there?
I have not checked today, but I doubt because of the release that came out yesterday evening, saying that all visitors required to stay in their rooms now. But at the same time, I'm saying whether or not it has been changed is not really the point to me. It is why was it there in the first place? And I don't know if some form of classism or whatever was involved. I would hope not.
No, ma'am.
But
I wouldn't say so.
It doesn't make common sense to me.
Ma'am, it was based on the situation in the countries that were put into that category at the time.
I do understand.
Right, but that has nothing to do with classism. If, for example, New Zealand had no cases on record, New Zealand would have been put into low risk. If you had a country that had, like Barbados, zero people in isolation, you will put it into low risk. If you had a country... But that's not class. That's just using statistics that were given at the time.
My opinion is, overall, that there should not have been categories, period.
Oh, okay, I got you.
I've had the same protocol for everybody.
Okay.
But at the same time, saying that person... Knowing that person... Okay, let me go back. Knowing that there's a history of persons testing positive on their second test, right?
Correct.
There should not have been a category of persons allowed to roam
until their second test. I agree with you on that. Ma'am, I agree with you on that from this point of view. When I started following the statistics and I saw notices in the newspaper saying that X and Y came in on the 27th and were tested positive on their second test, I kept wondering, where were those people in between?
Exactly.
If they were quarantined at Paragon, or if they were quarantined at somewhere in St. Lucie or wherever, then I was quite happy with it. If they were walking about until then, I would be a little uncomfortable as to where they were between the first and second test. I get your point on that one.
Comfort I have.
I get your point on that. I with you on that point as well. I take your point on that. I certainly had that concern when I saw it. No, but you see, and this is why I said when persons were tested when they came in and the quarantine, it's this whole question of us getting quarantine as being, you know, something you could or could not do, because it was outlined that you were supposed to be in your room, that yeah. if you wanted room service, that's all you would get. They would place yes. the tray outside the room. You would pick it up yes. and put it back out there. And then yes. you started hearing about people wandering around the place and somebody going by that. The beach and somebody on a ZR and somebody jump a balcony and all sorts of yes. strange things.
Yeah.
And but people in the room from somewhere.
Who kept the protocols very well.
Yeah, I'm aware of that too. Yeah. And I know the Paragon was very tight as well. And, you know, yes. It's just the others that had me a little bit, well, let me say confused, for want of a better term. But, ma'am, I will tell you this. It is therefore important that when we put information out, one, the information is accurate. Two,
yes.
it's updated on a regular basis. And three, yes. people who go to what they think is an official site get the right information.
Right.
Because that's part of the management of this until we get rid of it.
Yeah.
And discourage people from just sharing things they feel like sharing or doing what they feel like doing. Or saying blue door ain't infected so I could go there, but red door infected so I ain't going there. That ain't right. gonna help us either. Because the bartender at red door may be a blue door, green door, and the bar around the corner. Because you don't
That's
know.
That's right, too. There are many who work at more than
one. One place, yeah. Yep. Yeah. In the same night, too. DJs for one.
Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am, for sharing with us. I hope you get answer to the questions on how long that was up and why it wasn't changed when it got more acute. Thank you for sharing with us. 4341-790. You can also reach us at 266-4862. You can send a WhatsApp message to that number, 266-IVOB. Persons are telling me that they checked the website that we were talking about medium risk countries, and that the information is still there, and said no quarantine is required before your second test, and they tell me it's still up today, and that still remains in place. I have been following some of the WhatsApp messages and reading some of the comments and sharing some of them with you as I go along when I get the chance to do so. And there was one that I flagged that said, the person said a relative came in from St. Lucia and there was no test. See, when we get these messages that say there are protocols in place and please follow the protocols, I'm not sure that on every occasion people have been keeping abreast of what the actual protocol said. There was a time when there was a CARICOM bubble, and those traveling within the CARICOM bubble could do so with a certain amount of freedom, let me put it that way. Then there were high-risk countries, there were low-risk countries. There were different categories. If you want to call it different strokes for different folks, different strokes for different folks. There was obviously a breakdown in that arrangement. There were people who did what they wanted to do, and there were others who did what they were supposed to do, and seems that there were others who, well, perhaps more equal than others, let me put it that way. However, having said that, and knowing what is going on now, what are we doing to ensure that we follow the protocols, that we're made aware of what they are, that we inform people of the protocols that are in effect, not the voice notes, not the, you know, bits of gossip that we're picking up. What's the official status? What are we supposed to do? And let's follow the guidelines. And if there are questions, do like we do and raise them. Like someone said, they heard about schools. What about daycare centers? If you need to find out that, then we need to know where to get the correct information and how to go about accessing the correct information rather than relying on word of mouth. The other questions that I see being raised is why, when people call to ask the status of their relatives or friends or people they know at the prisons or wherever, they're told they're fine, but they're hearing that they're not fine. Hearing from whom? Medical information is not usually given out to other people. I mean, I work at an organization here. We were all tested because of concerns. I am not going to be told what John's status is, nor will he be told what mine is. We'll receive an email telling us what our status is and what we can or cannot do. And if either John or I, if we happen to fall into the category of being whisked away, we'll be whisked away. And I am sure that, unless the security guard tells somebody, I see John and Dennis being carried away by men in, armor and with machine guns or in hazmat suits or whatever they're called, there ain't nobody going to know that John and I get carried away. They know that we not work for a while. We may be vacationing, at Port St. Charles or Port Ferdinand or the Crane, with the family and thing. Look, I know we are concerned about our friends. I know we're concerned about our neighbors. I know we're concerned about ourselves. As we did, some of us did with HIV. You protect yourself. You ask your loved ones to protect themselves. And you don't assume. Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hey.
How are you, man?
I'm good.
Well, I want you to keep good for the rest of the year and the coming years.
I can't promise you that, but I will try.
It isn't a promise. It isn't a promise. A promise is a comfort of a fool.
Correct.
I would like that for you. That is all I'm telling you.
Good. I would like it for you too, sir.
Well, I could want for the best.
We all do. We all do.
The gentleman there, I think named something Worrell.
Yeah, call me.
Previously. Mm-hmm. He made one valid point, one point there that I am totally in agreement with, that we should always know where these hot spots is so we can either refuse to go or go making sure that we are protected enough that we can get it and that the tracing of the people should become easier. That's one point I was very pleased to hear.
But I'll tell you, and I said to another caller why I have, I think the lady that I spoke to just before the break, I told her why I have a challenge with that. Let me tell you why. There are DJs in Barbados who play 3 or 4 or 5 different places in one night. They have a crew that work with them. So there may be a hot spot in club XYZ. And we identify club XYZ as a hot spot and we avoid it. But we go to club ABC because it's not identified. But the DJ that playing there, playing XYZ last night.
Yeah.
And the crew with him in that one too. So it's only a matter of time before ABC 2 becomes a hot spot. So we gotta watch all of them until we know for sure they ain't about here at all.
But Dennis,
that
is bringing me now to my next point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we try to cast blame on where this happened, if it's tourists, if it's the bus crawler
prison,
the fact remains is that we had known from very early what the protocols are.
Yep.
Mask, sanitize.
Yep.
Watch.
And don't walk up too close. Right. Walk up on a distance.
Right. The gentleman there, American something, or we call it. He was saying that the closeness didn't mean nothing, was a massive thing. But the fact remains is that all Barbadians knew what the protocol was.
Yep.
You know the night when this news broke about this bus crawl and people infected, whatever thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know a group of youngsters, I could tell you that there had to be more than 40 of them. And they got behind me. Ain't got on nothing, and they're just there enjoying themselves. To be truthful, I didn't see no alcohol. Like, I don't know what it was. But the fact remains is that if you do not do what you are supposed to do, you run the risk of infecting who is home with you. Now, at first, they were saying that the younger people got, them could get away with it. We call the young ones.
Yeah, they're young and strong.
Right, yeah. But now science is proving that they're really as young and strong as we really thought they were, because some of them being infected and seriously too.
And even babies.
Right.
Whose immune system may apparently develop well enough yet to stop them getting anything that we didn't think of.
That is why when the question was asked to the Honorable Prime Minister last night about the, I think David Ellis asked her about the making the mask and thing mandatory, she went on to talk about people who got underlying conditions. I am saying that that to me is absolutely no excuse. The fact remains is this here. If I have an underlying problem, right? I know what the protocol is. Right. I must be able, or my family must be able to take care of me. As they're telling people, we got to take care of the people that is most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact remains, it would be out there already that mask is mandatory. And where we drop this ball is not forcibly enforcing some of these things into the people's psyche.
Correct.
And I blame whoever is the hierarchy that's supposed to be carried through this, because if we know that England is one of the major sources of tourism, and we know it's a hotspot area, but yet, you know, we got to keep the borders open because tourism is really paying
the business.
We should be more strict and strict about these people who are coming in. And these people, early o'clock, should have consulted with the army, the police, the medical staff. I'm making sure that wherever they are staying, they are scrutinized and watched for whatever reason. I mean, the testing is supposed to be done. But if you decide to come here, and we got it on our board, so we can be quarantined you for 5 days when I come here.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to come because I don't want to come, but that you wouldn't come. But if you accept it, you accept it under all conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And you come. So this soft thing that the Prime Minister is bringing to be the soft thing, and she could put her foot on the accelerator when this happened and all sort of thing. I'm saying to you, sometimes it is best to open your mouth and say exactly what it is early o'clock and stop the fooling around.
Sir, I sat on this program and got blistered for saying that the same way, and I said it, the same way we went about with all the public service announcements, all the various people putting their things to say, you know, be careful, live up campaign. We needed to do the same thing for this and continue to press messages into people over and over and over way back when we were taking it easy, you know? Yes, sir.
Yeah, rich or poor. Rich or poor.
Mm-hmm.
Indian, Jew, Syrian, whatever. We are all at risk.
Correct.
For what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard the death of Gordon but Short.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And it tells you that whether you're rich or poor,
when your number called, it calls.
When the bulb, when your bulb start to do so and flicker, it means you got to change the bulb. They can't repair it.
Yeah.
That is the end of
it. We also lost the House of Soccer.
Well, yes, right. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Despite whatever is happening, and people tell me we should be one of the keepers, and the fact remains is that you made a point earlier that when we were young, we would throw caution to the wind.
Yeah, of course.
Because
a
young person never used to feel that they're going to die. We never think about death till we start really getting a certain age, you know. We start understanding sometimes that we're eating certain things that we should.
That we shouldn't eat, but by then we eat it already.
We eat it already. But the fact remains is that we must forcibly enforce some of these rules and regulations on we as a people. Because I heard the Prime Minister, she like fetting and thing too, but you know you're going to do this. It is forceful. When I was a young man, see, Dennis, I ain't had a pants or a shirt to wear to a dance or anything. So the other fellas, I lay down home, get in the back, sit down, suck a piece of can from the can wrong or whatever, and think.
And
when I wake up in the morning, he says, boy, well, I ain't miss nothing. The old people always tell you these type of things. Where you could dead and left, you could live and see. It is only a matter of time.
We don't talk to old people no more.
Dennis, a lot of people like old people. One thing that people like that old is money.
Money.
Remember this, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I sincerely wish you all the good health for the elders.
Thank you, my friend.
And hope that next year this time.
We still talking?
Me and you can still go out chat.
All right. Thank you, my friend. We will stay safe. Your advice is timely. It's a good one. We got to make a lot of changes, boy, and some of them may be forced on us. More still. Brass Dax, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Hey, ma'am.
How are you today?
I am doing all right, I hope.
Oh, that is wonderful. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, and the
family.
Same to you.
Thank you so much. I have a few issues I want to address.
Mm-hmm.
The press conference last night, right?
Mm.
The Prime Minister was saying that she wants to change from normal IDs to digital IDs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do not agree with that. Because then, you know, you're walking down the road and you're just walking and you're seeing a number over your head. That's how it's going to be.
Really?
That's what it's doing in China. Yes. If you Google it or you check up or do your research.
Ma'am.
Yes, please.
Who say all digital IDs are the same?
I didn't say that all digital IDs
okay,
are
so
the same.
Who says that the digital ID that the Prime Minister talking about, that when you have it, a number will appear over your head?
Well, nobody will.
So
not
why are you going
about
there? But ma'am, that's why you should find out what a digital ID means, what it will entail, before you talk about numbers over your head.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
Okay.
But I don't agree with it.
Okay. Are you telling me not to? Okay.
And
without knowing what it
thing.
Is.
Yeah, but we will get back to that another thing.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing mm-hmm. is how about money? She says she wants to stop this money. I don't know about you, Mr. Johnson, but me, when I don't see a dollar in my hand, I just feel very upset.
Ma'am, you know, you're taking things and carrying it in a way that I don't understand why you're doing it. Once upon a time, in
yes.
order to pay for gasoline,
mm-hmm.
I would have to have cash in my hand to pay for the gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, to get biscuits from the supermarket, I would have to have money in my hand to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I walk into a supermarket, I walk into a mini mart, I go to the gas station, and the attendant asks me, are you paying by cash or are you paying by card?
Uh-huh.
If I have cash in my pocket, I pay by cash. If uh-huh. I don't have the cash in my pocket, I have a debit card. I do not have a credit card, but there uh-huh. are people who use credit cards.
Uh-huh.
So when there is a discussion on changing from paper money to cards, it does not mean that cash, as in dollars and coin, will no longer be used. It simply means that the method of paying. So why are you saying if you don't see a dollar... You have money in the bank?
Because it's everybody ain't gonna like to use
no,
card.
But ma'am, you have money in the bank?
Yes, please.
Is it in your hand?
No, but I got money in my hand too.
No, but is the money... but here's the problem, and this is the point.
Mm-hmm.
If you have $20 in your pocket right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I try not to have more than $20, so if anybody robbed me, they're only getting $20. But anyhow, mm-hmm. if you have $20 in your hand right now, right? And what you need to get you through the next 24 hours costs $40. Can you go to the bank and get it now?
No.
Good. So there has to be another way of doing it. If there is a lockdown where you have to stay in your home for, let's say, I don't know, a week.
Mm-hmm.
If your light bill has to be paid, your water bill comes due, your telephone comes due, all the things you think you need to survive, including your groceries, you cannot go to get it. But the only way you can get it is if you can pick up the phone, call the supplier, say, this is my number, this is what it is, come here with a swipe card, I could get the two biscuits or whatever. Is that not a transaction that did not require you having cash in your hand?
Yes, it is.
Right. So that's what will be put on par with the number of people who still want cash in their hand. So you'll have cash in your hand if you want it, and you'll have another option of payment if you so desire that does not require you to have cash in your hand. That's all it is. It don't mean you're getting rid of one completely.
How about little children that is same school with a little money to buy stuff from the canteen and stuff?
You're going to have to stop them doing that.
Oh.
At what age do you teach your children to manage cash?
Well, I used to give my son money to carry school.
How old was he? How old was he?
Well, probably about 8.
He knew how to get change, stop the bully from beating him up to take it and that kind of thing?
He never had that trouble with
that don't mean,
him.
That don't mean that it don't happen.
He never had that trouble, though.
Ma'am, I am telling you, that doesn't mean that it didn't happen. Not to
yes,
him, but to other people. I have seen children that I consider to be vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe your 8-year-old son was one of them. Standing by a traffic light, waiting to cross the road with a very expensive cell phone in their hand. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting in my car going, really? A 7-year-old holding a 5-year-old to cross the road with an iPhone? Right. You see what I'm talking about?
Mm.
Danger. That's what it said to me. Now, to somebody else, it may say, oh boy, I could grab a phone here. Right. So we have to balance what we want with the dangers out there. And all you have to look at is the fact that today, large amounts of cash, people walking around with cash could be dangerous. There are other ways and other methods that you can safely do transactions without having large amounts of cash on you. Now, if that reduces the danger, go. Now, if you get to the stage where people start stealing your card, stealing your PIN number, waiting until you come out of the ATM and taking you back inside with a gun to your head, then we got to deal with that too. Because as the danger is identified, we need to find a way to fix it. But we walk until we get, you know, to a place where we could walk comfortably. I wasn't comfortable with cards either, but I've learned to be comfortable with them over a period of time. I know where there are breaches because I spent 12 years in a bank and we introduced computers in Trinidad, in Barbados, in Jamaica. And there were flaws before they are the stage that they are today. And that's, you know, 30 years or more ago. So things progress, and we change as we identify the issues and the problems. Once upon a time, you could, you know, send children to the shop with $20, and they come back safe. Today, I think some of us would want to do that, because we're fighting. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. But look, I'm not saying you shouldn't have your concerns, eh? You should, but walk with them until you find a place that's comfortable. That's what I would tell you to do.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, there.
Have a good afternoon. Take care.